Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Feel a bit like a motivational speaker from the 90s with this microphone. For those of you who don't know, I have spent the last 2+ years in Romania as a missionary. So this morning I just would like to share with you a little bit about what I've been doing. So yeah, this is a picture in Constanța, is the name of the city where I work in Romania. This building in the background is one of the more famous landmarks of the city, and this picture is the most stereotypically tourist picture that you can possibly take. You see, the city's right on the Black Sea, and this building is actually a very old casino. But this building is actually a pretty good case study in what Romania is like. Because if you've seen Romania in the news over the past couple of years, probably it's because of the series of large protests that they had. Those protests were had a lot to do with government corruption. And what had actually happened is the politicians had just passed a law basically pardoning politicians for corruption-related crimes. So basically passing a law pardoning themselves for taking money from the people. So there were a lot of protests, and actually this kind of bureaucracy and corruption in politics is what Romania is known for in Europe. This building is very famous, but it's very run down. It's falling apart. The whole 2 years that I've been in the city, you haven't been allowed to even go inside because it's too dangerous. It's falling apart. What somebody told me, I'm not 100% sure if this is true, but it seems like it could be true, knowing Romania, is that the city actually has the money to do the repairs. They have for quite some time, but they can't decide which section of the city government should be in charge of the renovations. So they've kind of become deadlocked. Nobody wants to let anybody else be in charge. So they have the money to repair it, but it's basically just sitting in an account and nothing gets done. Okay. What a lot of you may not know about what I've done is I also did a missionary training school to kind of help me with my work in Romania, and I did this in France, in Paris. You can see the Eiffel Tower. This is all of the students and staff of my school that's from our graduation, and basically all the school is a 6-month-long school. For 3 months, we sit in a classroom in Paris, and we learn topics such as evangelism and the character and nature of God. So we learn for 3 months, and then for 3 months, we do practical work, where we traveled around Europe doing actual mission work. My team, we split into 3 different teams to do this part. My team ended up visiting 10 different countries during those 3 months. But yeah, all of this was to help me be a better missionary, to help me understand God more, understand myself a little bit more, so that I could go back to Romania and continue serving there. If you don't know where Romania is, here's a map. It's there to the right, right by the Black Sea. Constanța is right here. So that's where I live. And Constanța is an interesting city within Romania because, as you can see, it's kind of close here to Bulgaria and Turkey. And actually, in Constanța, we have quite a large Turkish population. It's the only place in Romania that has any Turkish people at all, basically. But in Constanța, there's quite a few of them. If you go more north in Romania, up here, you find a lot of Hungarians and Russians. Actually, a lot of people in the north speak Russian more than they speak Romanian. But where I'm from, you don't find them at all. It's mostly Turkish, and actually quite a few people from the Middle East and Africa. In Constanța. But Constanța is a port city. It's right on the Black Sea, so we get a lot of people coming through the city from all over the world. There are several universities, and actually a lot of what I do has to do with reaching out to the international community and to university students. Constanța is kind of unique in Romania in that regard. The rest of Romania is not quite as diverse, but in Constanța we get people from all over. Okay, this is just a picture. It's from one of our Christmas celebrations. This is the community that I work with. Basically just a group of missionaries that work together in Constanța. There's me, back there. And these are the people. There's Karis wasn't here, I don't think, but the girls that she looks after are here and here. And there should be two more. There's one. and I can't find the fourth, but there are four of them. So yeah, and then this is, in this picture, we're a pretty diverse community ourselves of missionaries. I think in this picture, I can count one, two, I'm counting nationalities. We have Brazilian, Romanian, Dutch, American, Scottish, English, Turkish, and seven in this picture. And then some people not pictured, this guy back here is from Israel and she's from Fiji. So we have quite a lot of nations represented just in our missionary community, which helps us a lot because Constanza is such a metropolitan city. So yeah, and this is, we celebrate a lot of things. Actually, this picture is from Christmas, but actually the Dutch Sinterklaas celebration is what this is. And then this is American Thanksgiving. So we have a lot of cultural diversity in our team, which is really nice. Basically what I do in the city, I'm involved with two ministries. The missionary community that I work with does a lot of things in the city, but mainly two areas I work with. And the first is this. There's a neighborhood in the city called Henry Kwanda. And this neighborhood is actually a government housing project where the government received a grant from the EU, I believe, and they built some housing units in the neighborhood and made them available for people who needed assistance with their rent. And so what happened, actually, this wasn't planned by the government, but what happened was the people who moved into this neighborhood were mostly Turkish. So this neighborhood became sort of a Turkish community within the city of Constanza. And so the missionaries in the city, when they heard about all this, they heard what happened, and they heard, okay, all of the poor and needy Turkish people in the city are all in one place. We should probably be there too. So they started doing ministry there. They started helping people when they could. They started doing Bible studies and children's programs. And I work a lot with them. This is kids in the neighborhood are on a trampoline. Every summer we run a massive day camp where we set up trampolines in the park in the neighborhood. We do face painting. We set up a stage and do skits of Bible stories. And yeah, it's huge. We've had over 200 kids at one time in this camp before. They love it. As soon as we set up the trampolines for the rest of the year, they're going to be asking us when's the next time the trampolines are coming. But we do a lot of things with the children to try to connect with them, and through that we've connected with a lot of their families. Once we get to know the kids at our programs, then we go to their house, we meet their parents, and we can meet the whole family. It's a really good way for us to connect with the neighborhood. This picture on the left is also from the day camp. They do face painting. And then this picture here, we also run a weekly kids program where we just play some games, we sing some songs. It's just a really relationship building time. This is us playing Red Rover, I believe. But this in Henry Kwanda, it's really a relationship focused ministry where we're really trying to get to know this community, get to know the families in this neighborhood. And then use that to try to get close to some people and so that we can really start to disciple them. Here's some more from Henry Kwanda. This is actually, we had a team come from Australia who specializes in human trafficking prevention, which is a huge problem in this neighborhood. So, I mean, talking with the kids, doing really simple stuff about how they should interact with strangers and how they should be looking out for each other. Really simple stuff without going into the really gritty, nasty details, but some practical things that can really help them as they're living in this neighborhood that can be kind of dangerous sometimes. So this is actually a really good example. The Constanza community has a lot of teams from other places coming in, teams with specializations like that to help us. And I'll talk a little bit later about, in the summer especially, we have a lot of teams coming in. So we have our community of missionaries in the city, but we also have a lot of people from the outside coming in to help us with different projects. This is a girls group that they started out of Henry Kwanda. They actually bring them out of the neighborhood into the house where the missionaries live. And they do crafts with them. They teach them a lesson. A lot of times it's a lot of practical stuff. They've had girls groups before where they teach them about hygiene, basically. They teach them how to brush their teeth because a lot of times they don't know. But this is a lot of the focus with this girls group. Obviously, I'm not involved directly with this because I'm not a girl. But a lot of the focus with this is in this community, education is not very highly valued, especially among girls. So they use this girls group to connect with the young girls of the community, and they've actually, from there, signed girls up to school, helped them with their homework, stuff like that. Just as a way to try to elevate the community, to try to lift them up. And that's one of the best things coming out of this ministry right now, is the way that they're trying to use education to lift up the community. And actually, one of the things we have lined up for the future is we're working with the city government right now to try to get our own building in the neighborhood so that we can have our own space. Right now, all of our programs we do have to either be in somebody's home or outside in the park, which their homes are very small, and we have to have a good relationship with the people already to be able to run our programs inside their house. And it's winter, so doing it outside isn't much of an option. So once we have our own buildings, then we can have a lot more freedom to run our own programs, and we would use that for homework services, after-school programs, and stuff like that. So we're working with the city right now to get, I think the funds are in place. They just need to work on some zoning issues to get the building built. But that's one of the projects we're working on in the future for this neighborhood. The second ministry that I work a lot with is called the International Cafe. And this is where I mostly work with young adults and university students, because the idea behind the cafe is we run programs to try to get the young people in. We run a lot of cultural events, we run a lot of workshops where they can learn a skill. And then from there, we try to connect with the people, we try to build our relationships, and again, it's that relational approach of trying to get to know them to the point where we can kind of bring them into our inner circle and start to disciple them. This is actually coffee from our coffee shop. We have a guy who works with us from South Korea. There's another nation. And he is a professional barista. He roasts his own coffee and everything. It's very good. It's a really professional thing. But we're not allowed to run it as a business because of Romanian laws. There's that bureaucracy again. Because it's associated with a non-profit organization, we're not technically allowed to charge for our coffee. So we ask for donations to help cover our costs, but that's pretty much it. We can't actually operate as a business legally. I know a guy in Constanza who runs his coffee shop. It's a similar kind of ministry. He does run it as a business, and it drives him crazy because he has to do so much paperwork. He has to jump through so many governmental loops because the bureaucracy is so crazy in that country. So running it as a business is a huge headache. And our cafe is associated with a nonprofit missionary organization, so we're legally not allowed to be a business. We use this as a way to draw people in. We can see here, this is actually at one of the homes of the people who works with the cafe. Sandra, the Brazilian lady, this is at her house. She had a bunch of people from the cafe over for dinner one day, just at her house. This is a photography exhibit. Actually, the same guy who does our coffee, Joseph is his name, is good at pretty much everything he does. And so he's also a very good photographer, and he did just a gallery, an exhibit of his photography. And we do this a lot if we know somebody from the cafe who is an artist, who writes poetry, whatever. We like to give them a platform where they can express that. And so we've had art exhibits, we've had photo galleries, we've had poetry readings before in the cafe. And really, this is a way for, especially if it's somebody who's not working for us, but just attending the cafe, if we give them a platform for them to express themselves, then that's an excellent way for them to come to trust us so that we can get closer to them. And also, people love this kind of stuff, so it brings outside people in even, because they want to see art, they want to see people using their talent. So it's a really great way to connect with the youth of the city. This is singing Christmas carols. This is just this year. This is just a couple of weeks ago. Romanians love Christmas carols. Love them. Love them. So normally we do this every year. We're in the cafe. We sing a bunch of Christmas carols, and we always get a ton of people for that because they love Christmas carols. normally they love to go caroling, where they go outside and go around, and actually the Romanian way to do that is to ask for money when you carol. So if you have a house in Romania around Christmas time and somebody knocks on your door, 9 out of 10 times it's going to be somebody caroling who wants you to give them money. But they love to sing and they love Christmas carols. So we do that, we host that for them in the cafe as well. This is from a game night where we have a bunch of board games in the cafe and we just have people over and we play board games. This is a Dutch board game called Schulen. This is, everybody loves this game. When we bring this game out, we have a giant scoreboard. Throughout the whole night, people are trying to get the highest score, and everybody loves it. Again, these are just ways to connect with the people so that we can draw them in, so that we can get to know them, so that we can start to talk to them about Jesus and start to try to disciple them. This one, I'm not sure what this one is. An event. The cafe is open on Tuesdays and Fridays. Normally on Tuesdays we try to do some kind of a workshop where we can teach them a skill. We've had language workshops in the past. I've taught an English workshop. And we've had guitar workshops where we learn guitar on Tuesdays. And yeah, it's normally something where we try to teach them a skill. And then Friday nights are events. We would like to run a lot of cultural events, especially if we have a team from somewhere like Australia. Excuse me. We have them run an event at the cafe where they teach us about Australia. What's Australia like? How's the culture? And yeah, and because we're such a diverse international community, we have a lot of different cultures that we can pull from to run these cultural nights. We do movie nights as well, where I pick a movie that has something to say, and then we watch the movie, and then I actually host a discussion afterwards where we see what we can learn from the movie, which is a really good way to connect with people because you get to hear their thoughts and you get to see how they analyze things. Friday nights are for events, and on Tuesdays we try to learn something. One of the cool new things happening in Constanza is a summer nightlife outreach. Constanza actually is known in Romania, not really internationally, but in Romania, Constanza is a huge vacation and party city. There's an area of the city, this beach is this area called Mamaia. It's basically a strip of land with the Black Sea on one side and a lake on the other. And there are a bunch of resorts, a bunch of beaches, a bunch of restaurants on this strip. And it's a huge vacation summer destination for Romanians. So something that just started last year is people from this missionary community have started to go there during the height of summer when all the vacationers are there to try to reach out and try to evangelize to the partygoers, basically. Where what they do is they go out in the middle of the night, they go out onto the beach, and they meet with people who are about to go into the clubs or who have just left the club. Sometimes if they go early in the morning, they bring coffee and they find people who are very drunk. They give them coffee. If necessary, offer to take them to their hotel so they don't drive themselves or something like that. But again, it's a way where they saw that this is something in the city. This is what Constanza is known for. And it's a place where people are... people are often at their lowest point, really looking for something. So they felt that this is somewhere that God wanted them to be. Like, this is an area of the city where there's a lot of need, where there's a lot of people who are looking for something more and who need something more. And so this is where we, as a missionary community, should be, reaching out to these people. That's backwards. These are a couple more pictures from the summer nightlife. This is just on Mamaia. This is our base leader, actually, of this missionary community. We have kind of a loose leadership. There's actually three people in the leadership team who kind of run things more or less, but it's not really a hard hierarchy. But this is the base leader. His name is on all the paperwork. That's basically what that means. This guy is a volunteer who works with us in this ministry specifically, and then these people are just people that they met on the street, on the beach. This street actually is the main vacation street. These are like restaurants, and there are clubs a bit farther down. This is where people go to party in the summer. And one of the cool things is now they've done this two summers, this summer and the summer before, and now they're looking to expand it. They're actually working with a lot of other missionary organizations in Europe, where they're organizing a massive summer outreach to some of the other party locations in Europe. So they actually have 6 locations throughout Europe now where they're gathering people for teams, where they're going to send them to locations as, oh, I don't remember specifics, in southern Spain, there's one in Croatia, in, I don't remember, but major party destinations in Europe. They're going to send teams to those locations next summer to try to evangelize in those scenes. So that's something that we're working on right now in the base, trying to organize and trying to get together. But this is something that Bart, his name, he's had a vision for this for a long time, and we're really starting to see it gain a lot of momentum, starting to build. And I think it's an area where God is really growing something in our community and something... something's happening in this scene. There are a lot of cool stories about encounters they've had talking to people on the beach or outside of the clubs where, this is an area where they've really been able to be used by God to meet people in their time of need. So that's one of the new things that's happening in Constanza. Another new thing this year, something we did for the first time, is we, as an entire missionary community, went on a mission trip to Bulgaria together. So a mission trip from our mission trip. We really felt like we have a lot of things happening in Constanza, and we felt like there was a bit of an overflow. Like, we're very blessed in Constanza, and we wanted to share it a little bit with the surrounding areas. And so we went to this city, it's called Dimitrovgrad, and you can see Dimitrovgrad in Bulgaria. We had a connection with a missionary who was there already, and so we went there just looking to... this is our first time, so we're looking to connect with believers in the area, to connect with this missionary, to kind of feel out what the city is like, do some evangelism, try to reach out to the people of the city. we did that, and this was really the first time that as a whole community, we were doing one mission. Because, I mean, we all live and work together in Constanza, but we each have... different things that we do. Like, if I'm at the cafe, somebody else is, there's a youth group that runs called King's Kids, which I don't work with, but other people work with that. I work with the cafe. So we're one community, but we work in a lot of different areas. And this was an opportunity for all of us to work on one mission for a week. This is just a group photo outside of our hotel in Bulgaria. And this is inside of the missionary's house that we were working with. His name is Georgie. This is in one of the parks in Dimitrovgrad. Apparently, Dimitrovgrad is not famous for much in Bulgaria. It's kind of a small city, but they do have nice parks that are fairly well known within the country. This is actually, these signs are what we use to do some evangelism on the street. And actually, in the summer nightlife in Constanza, they use these same signs. So this is kind of the method that they use a lot of the times. Is they'll take these signs, and they'll hold them out on the street, and people passing by, they'll just ask them to guess, what do you think these signs mean? The signs tell a story. If you can tell us what it means, you'll win a Coke. So people stop on the street, they try to guess what the signs mean. Usually it's like, it's, okay, love and division, and okay, it's the cross, and they try to put together, what does it mean? And then normally they don't get it, unless they already knew. It's pretty hard to guess it exactly. So then we tell them. What this means is, this is love. It started with love. When God created humans, there was perfect love between us and God. Sin entered the world and divided us from God. Jesus came and died on the cross, which allowed us to be reunited with God. And then the question mark is, how are you going to respond to what Jesus did? Okay, so we just tell them that story, normally in a bit more detail than that. But we share with them what it means. And then we ask them, okay, the question mark is your response. What is it? And that's just a way to, it's a really good way to initiate a conversation, because actually they see us with these signs, and so a lot of people come up to us that way. They're like, oh, what are these signs all about? And then, yeah, we get a chance to explain. So this is the method that they use for evangelism. We use it a lot in Bulgaria, and they use it in the summer nightlife a lot as well. One of the other things we did in Bulgaria was we ran a... hockey ministry, basically, where essentially what we did is we went to one of the local parks and we just played street hockey. And this park had a skate park with a lot of teenagers there, so we just set up our hockey arena and we went to the skate park and said, hey, if you want to come play some hockey, come join us. And so then we formed teams and we just played hockey and used that as a way to connect with the teenagers and the youths of the city. And actually what happened at first was when we first got there, we talked to the director of a school just about, hey, we want to run this hockey program, can we do it on your playground at your school? And he said yes, and so we did. And so the first day we were at the school, and it was really nice, it was an excellent area for playing hockey. We had a lot of kids coming. We hadn't said anything about Jesus yet. We were just like, oh, this is a hockey program, we're just going to play hockey. Somehow the director of the school found out we were a Christian group and kicked us out. So we're not sure how he found out in the first place. And yeah, anyways, but it ended up being kind of a blessing because of that we went to this park and found the skate park where all the teenagers were hanging out. And so, yeah, it worked out. God used it, and it was really an excellent way. We saw a lot of teenagers come through to play in this hockey tournament. And actually, on the last day there, we had this big festival with a hockey tournament with teams and prizes and everything. Is a legit tournament. It was really nice. And at the end of it, this is the people who were in the hockey tournament, and they're listening to this guy, my friend Juniet, is sharing his testimony of what Jesus did in his life. So everyone who was a part of this hockey tournament, at the end of it, they heard this testimony. And in other parts of the festival, there were face painting. There was actually a prayer station where people who wanted to be prayed for could come, and one of the missionaries would pray with them right in the middle of the park. Yeah, it was really cool. So it was a really good experience for us as a community. It was really good for team building. And the plan is to keep doing that more. We built some good connections with the missionary Georgie and his family and with some of the churches there. So we're planning on going back. And this is also something new that Constanza is doing that seems like it's going to build into something. So it's exciting. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about kind of what it means to be a missionary, how it looks. So I'm going to read from Matthew 13. I forgot to bring the Bible up here. Thank you. From Matthew 13, starting in verse 3, this is a story which I think most of you will be familiar with. This is Jesus talking about what the kingdom of God is like. And he says this: a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. So to me, this is a really good parable describing what being a missionary is like, because Jesus is talking about how the kingdom of God spreads and how people receive it, which is a lot of what missionary work is it's trying to spread the kingdom of God, and a lot of it is dependent on how people receive it. For me, one of the things that makes this difficult is the fact that not all soil is the same. Not all soil is as receptive as others. For me, this is especially true in Henrikwanda, in the Turkish neighborhood in Constanza. I mean, this neighborhood is a hard place to work sometimes, often. It's a hard place to work. I mean, it's a community that has a lot of brokenness in it. You've heard about the four girls, they're from this neighborhood, where when we met them, their dad was in prison and their mother had just left, went to Germany, and left the four of them in their apartment by themselves. The oldest was 7 years old at the time. And that's not an isolated case. We see neglect and abuse a lot in this neighborhood. I've talked about how education is not very highly valued. Hard work is not very highly valued. The unemployment rate is very high in that neighborhood. People with a high school education are very rare to find in that neighborhood. So they get kind of stuck in this cycle of poverty and self-destruction. And it's a hard place to work. We don't see change a lot of times. I mean, Bart and Doreen are the couple who've been working there for a long time, 6 years, I think. And they'll tell stories about how they first got there. They were so excited. They wanted to see Jesus do something. And 6 years, they have some stories, of course. But after 6 years, the community as a whole seems unchanged. It just seems like it's a difficult place to get anything done. And so the danger for me is I can look at that, and I've been working there over 2 years as well, and I can see a lot of the same thing where, we invest in these people, we go to their homes, we meet their families, we're talking to them, we hold Bible studies with them, we're trying to teach them, we're trying to educate them, we're trying to disciple them, and we don't see any change. And it's easy for me to look at that and say, this is hard soil. So what's the point? It's easy for me to look and say, as a farmer, I would be better off finding some other soil and forget this soil because nothing's going to grow. And that's a real danger because we can get discouraged easily in a situation like that. But when Jesus tells the story, the sower is not looking for any specific soil. He's just sowing. He's sowing wherever he goes. And I think what it comes down to is when I look at soil and I try to judge whether that soil is worthy of the kingdom of God, what happens is I really exhibit a lack of trust in God. Because what did Paul say? He said, I planted the seed. Apollo watered it, but God is the one who made it grow. So if I refuse to plant the seed thinking that nothing will grow, who I'm really doubting is God and what he's capable of. It's a hard place to work, and the bad soils do exist. We see rocks, we see the thorns, we see the birds snatching the seed away, we see it all the time. But if growth is going to happen, God's the one who's going to make it happen. And if I refuse to sow the seed because I doubt growth, I'm doubting God's ability, and that's all it is. We have a lot of stories of how God has grown things out of tough soil. So this is just to end with a couple of stories of what God has done, not to end on, everything's bad, we don't see any change. No, that's not true. This is, impressions that we can get based on our limited perspective. But there are stories definitely of what God is doing in this community and in Constanza. The first one is from the cafe. Let's see. This girl here, her name is Andrea. She has been coming to the cafe for a long time. Before I even got to Constanza, she was already attending the cafe, but that's how we all met her, was she just attended the cafe. These pictures are small. This is her. She's on the mission trip with us to Bulgaria. So just from the connections that she made at the cafe, now she's a missionary, basically. This is her first time leaving her own country, but she comes and she experiences what it's like to evangelize to people in the streets, what it's like to be a missionary, what it's like to spread the kingdom of God. And that's just because of what God has done through our connections with her in the cafe, out of this ministry. One of the other, this guy, Juniet, that I mentioned, he's from Henikwanda, he's Turkish. His story is very encouraging to me. When I think about Henikwanda being an unchangeable place, being a hard place, being a difficult place to work at, I think of the story of Juniet to kind of get my mind back where it should be. Because Juniet is a guy who, he grew up in Henikwanda, he was kind of the same as everybody else in the neighborhood until he started coming to the youth group that the missionary organization runs. And we started to see a lot of change. We started to see he was starting to think about some things. He was starting to grow. And he actually, one of the missionaries there likes to build furniture out of wooden pallets. And Juniet started helping him with that as a form of ministry so he can make some furniture for some people, And he was starting to become very involved in what we were doing, and we were starting to see a lot of growth, and we were getting very encouraged, and all of a sudden he stopped coming. He disappeared, dropped off the face of the earth. We had no idea what happened. Later we found out is what had happened is he had gotten into drugs, and so he had just decided to stay home. He was on drugs, and so he was ashamed. He didn't want to see us because he knew that what he was doing was wrong, and so he withdrew from everybody. For almost a year, he was like this, and he was kind of spiraling a little bit. And he said, actually, this is the story that he's telling right now to these Bulgarian teenagers. He said that his brother saw how he was, saw that he was kind of in this downward spiral. His brother is Muslim, not even Christian, but he said, you need to go back to this youth group because you're going to destroy yourself. And so he came back to this youth group, and he started coming to our functions again. He started talking to us again. He started to work through some of the stuff that he had gone through. And now he's actually becoming a large force in Henequanda. He has started gathering the kids from his apartment block and taking them into his own home and start a Bible study with them. He's gathering them up on Sunday mornings and taking them to church. He's going to attend the same missionary school that I did. In 2 weeks, I think, he leaves. He's going to go to Norway. He's going to do this missionary school because he wants to come back equipped to change his own neighborhood. So I think about when I come across times where I think this person or this community, they're not receptive, they're not going to listen, they're, you know, it's too difficult, the soil's too rocky. I think about Juniet and how the same things could have been said about him in his community. And if the people who worked in that ministry, of me and Karis and the other missionaries in Constanza, if we had looked at this neighborhood and said, this soil is too hard, we can't work here, none of this ever would have happened. So the lesson for me, and the lesson for all of us, because you don't have to go to Romania to do this. The lesson is, God's the one who makes it grow. Don't worry about whether you think the soil is good or not. That's not the job of the sower. The job of the sower is just to spread the kingdom of God. That's it. If it's going to grow, it's going to be because of God. So let's have a little trust in Him. Do our part, but then trust God to do the actual growth, because He's the only one who can. So that's just a little bit about what I'm doing in Romania. If you want to know more, talk to me afterwards. I work as a volunteer there, so if you're interested in supporting me, talk to me about that too. I'm going to be starting a newsletter if you want to receive it. I'll have a piece of paper where people can write down their email addresses. You can receive a newsletter to stay updated on what I'm doing in Romania. Thank you for your time, and I hope you've learned a little bit about the movements of God in this place. Thank you.